الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Last week we began on this topic of perspective, and essentially what we were speaking about was that one of the major features of our deen is that it alters the perspective of the believer to be able to see the reality of what is present around them. And one of the major features of this perspective is that it takes the focus off an individual and helps it takes the focus off an individual and helps the individual recognize that they exist in a greater context. You see, in the world that we live in, and the world that's existed since humanity has been present, the tendency for human beings is to focus on themselves. What's going on with myself? Is my stomach full? Do I have the things I want? What are my desires? What are my dreams? I and me. And one of the great things of our deen is that it alters that perspective. It takes us beyond ourselves to ask the question, not only is my stomach full, but is my neighbor's stomach full? Not only is it important that I succeed, but it's important that everybody around me succeeds. Whether that's dunya or akhirah, same thing. I mean, look at the concept of zakah in our deen, which essentially asks us the question, do you have excess? And if you have excess, then you need to make sure that the other people, that the people surrounding you, their needs are fulfilled. So this is just one perspective. We spoke in detail about this yesterday. The other perspective change that occurs is that we go from I to reality. The first was from I to others, which we talked about last week. The other perspective change which occurs is that we go from I or me to reality, which is that we begin to recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that's in control of all. And that I am merely a speck of dust in the cosmic reality. Honestly, forget about me. The whole earth is actually a speck of dust in the cosmic reality, but we'll give ourselves some credit and call us dust in the speck of cosmic reality. And we begin to appreciate when a person engages in dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah, worship of Allah, we begin to recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of all. That nothing happens except through His decree. That there is no deity worthy of worship. That Allah knows all, hears all, sees all. And that only Allah is the one that worship should to which worship should occur. So this is another perspective. And the reason I got into this whole topic was just because I was mentioning it, that I went on a tangent last week, but I was mentioning at the beginning of last week that we had that seminar a few weeks ago, the Maintaining Mental Health seminar, and one of the important points that we highlighted was that it's very important for a person to understand perspective so that that perspective can help them to maintain themselves. And what I meant there in that particular discussion and it was stated at that time, and I'm just restating it today, is that there are many, many different features of perspective, but one particular feature of perspective that we mentioned specifically is that a Muslim recognizes, or a believer in particular, recognizes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always desires good for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always desires good for them. And that understanding changes the perspective from why me? What's happening? Why can't I have? Why can't it be my way? Why can't everything? Why is everything working out for everybody else and not for me? That's the common perspective, the me perspective. That's the common introverted, you know, I and me perspective. But the reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always deciding each and every act, each and every occurrence in favor of the believer. More specifically, the Prophet alayhi salam, he mentioned, and I shared this at that time, I'm repeating it today, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ How marvelous, or marvelous is the affair of the believer. Wondrous is the affair of the believer. You could even say maybe shocking is the affair of the believer. Now, you could pause right here and it's just amazing. The statement itself, you know, you don't even come to the punch. You just come here to the introductory. This is sort of the precursor statement to the real punchline. But even this statement is actually very interesting if you just think about it. Because look who's speaking. The Prophet ﷺ is saying, strange is the affair of the believer, wondrous is the affair of the believer, amazing is the affair of the believer. And this is the individual upon whom Quran was revealed. You know, it's like, you have to always think about, see, everything's in context, right? When a speaker speaks, you look at the statement that they make and you look at it in the context of who's speaking. So, you know, if let's just, and I hate to do this, you know, because you can't make these comparisons, but just so that we can understand, you know, if Einstein were to say, what an amazing science class, you understand the you know, Einstein, okay? Einstein, everybody knows. What an amazing science teacher, or what an amazing science class, that would be, everyone would pause. Because they would say, this is like one of the world's greatest scientists. Now, this scientist is saying that something was amazing about science. So that would really hearken our attention to what was going to come next. Now, here the Prophet ﷺ is saying, wondrous is the affair of the believer. He's saying amazing, wondering, but this is the same person who's meeting with angel, Jibreel alayhi salam, who is receiving revelation from the heavens. So this individual who is receiving revelation from the heavens, who has been essentially the chosen of creation, essentially is meeting with the angel, Jibreel alayhi salam, who sees reality in a completely for completely what it is, this individual is saying amazing is something. You know, I mean, you could say amazing that the angel is coming, amazing that revelation is coming. And here the Prophet ﷺ is saying, amazing is the affair of the believer. So when someone of that caliber, status, circumstance says amazing, you really have to say, wow, like what is amazing about this? What is coming next? Because how could this individual be amazed by anything when they've already experienced the most amazing things? But no, the Prophet ﷺ highlights to us that amazing is the affair of the believer. Amazing is the affair of the believer. And then he continues, why? Why? Why is the affair of the believer amazing? Inna amrahu kullahu khair. Because the entire matter of a believer is all good. Is all good. The entire matter of a believer is all good. How so? Then the Prophet ﷺ continues. Why? Why is the affair of the believer amazing? Because the whole thing is good. Why is the whole thing good? Because there's only two circumstances that exist in life. Circumstance one, something goes our way. Possibility A, something goes our way. And when something goes our way, that is in favor of the believer, not because the thing went their way, but because they'll give thanks in the context of the circumstance. So because the believer is going to end up giving thanks, their circumstance is perfect for them and is amazing. And what's the other possibility? The other possibility in life is that things don't go our way. We have an expectation, a hope, a dream, a desire, and it just doesn't happen the way we want it to happen. And so why is that matter? Why is that matter good for the believer? That matter is good for the believer because even in the context of the thing not going the way they want it to go, They exhibit patience. Why do they exhibit patience? Because they know this is from Allah. It's not about me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always decide what's best for me. And in the context of that, I'm going to exhibit patience. And when I exhibit patience, I'm going to receive a reward. So that was also good for me. So now look at the expansion of the horizon, you know, that occurs with the believer here. Here, you have like an individual like myself, narrowly focused on my day, narrowly focused on whether things are happening the way I want. Did I get into the school that I want to go to? Am I going to go on the trip that I wanted to go on? Am I making money, et cetera, et cetera? I'm totally focused on myself. And in few sentences, three, four sentences, the Prophet ﷺ expands my horizon in so many different ways. First, by explaining to me that my affair is amazing. That the believer, by being a believer, my affair becomes amazing. So it just hearkens my interest. And how? Because in the end, all that matters is that a believer's attention be focused on Allah. And if their attention is focused on Allah, they receive the maximum benefit from the circumstance, which is blessings in this life and a reward in the hereafter. And how does that arise? Because either it's good or it's bad, meaning either it's what you hoped for or it's what you didn't hope for, or it was something other than you hoped for. But in every circumstance, the turn needs to be made back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recognizing that Allah and only Allah is in control. And there's no way that a human being can achieve that without experiencing all the extremes of things sometimes working out the way they want and sometimes not working out the way they expected. Like I said a few weeks ago when we had the seminar, you can't experience happiness until you've experienced sadness. These two things go together. You can't experience success until you've experienced failure. These two things go together. You can't experience contentment until you've experienced some degree of emptiness. These two things go together. And for a human being, you can't know that things are you can't be thankful for things going your way unless you know what it means for things to not go your way. It can't be that every single thing in life is going to go exactly the way that we want it. It doesn't ever work that way. No human being lives that way. Now I know that's the way they show it, you know, quote unquote, on social media or whatever people are engaged with. It looks like everything's perfect all the time. I guarantee you it's not. It's not possible. It's not the way human beings exist. Everything will have ups and downs to it. And those ups and downs, now look, what's beautiful is that people call those ups and downs, right? Well, this went my way, so this is positive. This didn't go my way, so this is negative. This went my way, so it's positive. This didn't go my way, so it's negative. But the reality is for the believer, and what makes it so wondrous, is that everything is positive. Everything is positive. Even when it appears to be negative, there's always positive in it because the believer, when something doesn't go their way, when it's not as they expected, when it hurts them, it still is beneficial because they exhibit patience in the face of that circumstance. And it's through that patience that they gain proximity to Allah and they gain some reward in the hereafter. So for us, every single matter is good. Now, not only that, you know, this statement, there's one other dimension. There's so many dimensions to this statement, but there's one other dimension to this statement that we didn't mention. And that is that, interestingly, the Prophet ﷺ says that the entire matter of the believer is good, and then he puts a clause. He enters a clause into this, which just highlights further how wondrous this is. What's the clause? And this is only for the believer. This is only for the believer. This wondrous circumstance is only for the believer. Because the believer gets beyond themselves and understands that they... by the way, what are they a believer in? They're a believer in Allah. They're a believer in Allah. And the believer gets beyond themselves and doesn't see things as negative and positive anymore. They only see things as positive. And only a believer can do that because the believer is the one that's eventually going to trace everything back to Allah and recognize that no matter what happens, it's from Allah. If it's something that apparently is good, I'm going to do thanks. If it's something that apparently is bad, I'm going to have sabr and patience. So the reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has our deen has created a circumstance that allows us to recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a unique opportunity to always be in the positive. Now, why is that important? Because so much of life today, what beats down a person in life, is because we've become so self-centered. We've become so self-centric that when things don't work our way, we can't take it. We get paralyzed. We literally get paralyzed. We get trapped in our footsteps. Like, oh, this isn't going my way. Everybody else is living a perfect life. This isn't happening for me. How come this person gets this and that person gets that and I'm not having this? Because, again, we've lost our perspective. We've lost our focus. But this statement completely resets the focus of the believer and should alleviate a huge amount of tension and stress from the heart and mind of a believer, because all they have to do is recognize that my only... See, here's the stress, right? The stress is, one of the stresses is that when things don't go our way, we feel like we need to get up and change them. Like, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to force this, I'm going to push this, I'm going to say this, I'm going to react this way. But the only thing that the believer has to do in order to receive a positive from the circumstance is to be the believer. Everything else we don't have to worry about. I just have to be a believer, recognize that everything is from Allah, and after that I can relax. Sometimes things will go my way. Sometimes they won't. Does that mean that I have to, you know, does that mean that I could exclude myself from making effort? No, of course. We always have to make effort. The Sunnah teaches us to make effort. We have to make our best effort. But it means I don't have to force the situation. I need to do what I need to do, and it will always work out in my favor, and I will always be on the receiving end of good so long as I appreciate that this is from Allah and Allah desires what's best for me and my circumstance. A lot of difficulties will come in life. A lot of difficulties come in life. It's just part of life. We can't change that. But even those difficulties, they always result in something better. Look, there's two ways by which a person approaches their Lord. Either by ibadah and shukr, or by sabr. These are the two vehicles, right? Person's content, happy, they're doing shukr, they're doing ibadah, they're getting what they want, they're approaching their Lord. Or it's not going their way, they're facing a difficulty, they're having patience, and they're turning towards their Lord. These are the two vehicles. And each of these vehicles takes a person in the same direction. The vector's in the same direction. And that's always in the benefit of the believer. The thing is that what the believer needs to be is they need to be a believer. That's their job. And everything else works out in their favor. So this should take a tremendous amount of stress off our shoulders. We should always be content with our Lord. We should know that the same Allah, and I mean, think about this for a minute, the same Allah who put the entire universe in its perfect circumstance. You understand how vast the universe is? I mean, we have the benefit of today's science to show us just how infinite the universe is. And how is it that every single thing in the universe is exactly where it's supposed to be? And even the scientists appreciate this. They recognize that there's certain constants, and they tell you themselves, there's, you know, five, seven constants that to the decimal point are perfect, and if they weren't, the Earth in its perfect symphony and unity could not exist the way it is. And so this Allah who organized every single thing in the universe, nobody needs to wonder if the sun's going to come up the next morning. Nobody needs to wonder if the sun's going to set at night. Nobody needs to wonder whether the earth is properly rotating. Nobody wakes up in the morning and programs the earth and tells it how to move. Nobody has to wonder how close or far the earth is from the sun. Nobody has to wonder whether all the universe is in exactly in perfect balance, allowing for all of these constants to exist the way they exist in the physical scientific world around us. Nobody has to organize any of this. Nobody wakes up in the morning and checks the computer to check if the earth is spinning. Everything just runs by itself. That same Allah who organized all the seven heavens and the earth and everything beneath it and everything upon it and everything throughout its history, you think that Allah made a mistake when it came to, like, what happens with me today? Na'udhu billah? No. Everything has been organized the way it's supposed to be. Everything has been organized the way it's supposed to be. I just need to submit to that. That's called Islam. To submit myself to the reality of the universe that surrounds me. That's essentially what Islam is. Everything else is already submitted. I mean, if I tell you, you have a cell in your leg that's currently replicating and it's copying the DNA, why don't you stop it? Tell it you're not supposed to copy the DNA. Tell this cell it's not supposed to divide. Tell your blood cell it's not supposed to reproduce. Nobody can control any of that. Those things are all controlled by Allah. And there are billions of chemical reactions that are occurring every second. They're all controlled by Allah. No one is controlling any of them. They've all been preset in their way. There's like this one being, this human being, has a tiny bit of freedom. The only question is, do you turn this way or do you turn that way? That's about as much freedom as they have. Yes, I mean, you're given a little bit of opportunity to make some choices here and there, but you're not going to be able to change the distance of the earth to the sun. You're not going to be able to stop the sun from rising or setting. You barely can control anything. I mean, honestly, in the grand scheme of everything that's happening, how much control does a human being really have? Picks up one foot off the ground, can't lift up the other. The only thing that has to happen with the human being is they just need to recognize that I live in this grand organization that exists in the entire universe, and I just must submit to the one who created all of it. And if a person does that, everything is for them. Everything is for them. The entire universe has been created as a sign, as a reminder for them. And the good that occurs, the beneficial things, the positive things, alhamdulillah, they do shukr because they're a believer. And the difficulties that arise, they recognize that that's from Allah. It can't occur any other way except through Allah. The whole universe could come together and decide that they want to harm me. They can't accept that Allah permits it to occur. It's so simple. You know, we have all these like these basic principles of deen are all a person really needs. I keep getting back to this. You know, we get into such complicated discussions and topics, but you always come back to the very, very simple understanding of these basic things that every Muslim knows but just has yet to submit to. That's the reality of the world that exists around us. We have to be believers, and if we become believers and recognize that everything is from Allah and lose this I and me perspective, then what ends up happening is we appreciate that everything is always in our favor. Everything is always in our favor. We just need to make the effort that we need to make, and whatever happens, happens. If it's good, alhamdulillah, we continue to thank as much as we can thank, but we will never be able to thank for the good until we also experience some of the difficulties in life. You just can never appreciate the good until there's a difficulty. Nobody appreciates their health until they lose it. It has to happen that way. Nobody appreciates what they've been given until they don't have it. It's just human nature. So this is it's Allah's mercy upon us, by the way. It's Allah's mercy upon us that even difficulties exist. Despite the fact that they're difficult, despite the fact that sometimes we're pushed to the extreme and we can't handle them, but they're necessary because otherwise, if we don't have one thing go wrong, how are we going to appreciate the millions of things that go right every day? How will a person appreciate that? So that's the reality of a believer. They recognize that everything is for them. Now, once a person has that perspective, there's no more, you know, does Allah love me? Does Allah want good for me? That's not even a question in the mind of a believer. Of course Allah wants only what's best for a believer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always decides what's in favor of the believer. And sometimes we need a little restraint from every single blessing. It's not like Allah takes away blessings. Allah never takes away blessings, by the way. Because there are trillions of blessings occurring every second, which we don't appreciate. Like I told you, I mean, this cell is dividing, and there's all these complex chemical reactions that are occurring, and they're occurring with all these cells. There's some cells in my body that are dividing every 20 minutes, right? And I don't appreciate any of those things. Those are all Allah's blessings. They're constantly occurring. Even in the context of a believer, even when a difficulty arises, it's one billionth of all the blessings, out of the blessings. The believer's always in a positive, in a state of blessing. You know, the one thing that apparently goes wrong that stings a believer in their heart, it's there because it allows them to then appreciate the other millions of things that are going right. And it allows a believer to be able to exhibit sabr, and sabr is a major mechanism by which a person can approach their Lord. Sabr is a major mechanism by which a person can approach their Lord. Mashayikh, they say that what you can achieve through sabr, you could never achieve through ibadah and shukr. You need it. It's necessary. It's a very, very strong way. You know, if a person really desires Allah, they will undergo difficulty and they will have to bite their tongue And they will have to have their souls compressed. Because it's only through that compression that the next expansion can occur. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to recognize and reset our perspective to recognize that everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may He make us amongst those who are able to appreciate and realize and see the reality of everything being in our favor. May He make us amongst those who are thankful when something goes in as they hoped. And may He make us amongst those who are able to experience, who are able to exhibit patience when a difficulty might arise. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ